President Trump may be overseas, but the news cycle here at home continues to churn. Late yesterday, The Washington Post reported that last March, President Trump appealed to Daniel Coats, the director of national intelligence, and Admiral Mike Rogers, the director of the National Security Agency. Trump allegedly asked the two intelligence officials to publicly deny the existence of evidence of collusion between his campaign and Russia during the 2016 election. Both men reportedly said no to the president's request. In congressional testimony today, Coates said,
"I don't feel it's appropriate to characterize discussions and conversations with the president."
Also yesterday, President Trump's former national security adviser, Michael Flynn, said he will not turn over Russia-related documents to a Senate committee investigating Russian interference in the election. Flynn said he'll plead the fifth and retain his right to not incriminate himself. There is a lot going on, and here to help us figure some of it out is Amy Sabrin. She's a retired partner from the law firm of Skadden Arps. She represented numerous public officials and executives in Department of Justice investigations. Amy, thanks for being with us.
I'm glad to be here. Hello, Noelle.
So let's start with the first set of allegations, that the president tried to influence two top intelligence officials, asking them to deny evidence of collusion. If this is true, how big a deal is this legally?
It is not in itself. Those actions are not in themselves obstruction of justice, because those officials were not involved in the investigations and they were asked to make public statements about it. But it is highly relevant evidence to a charge of obstruction of justice, and of course fits a pattern if we are to believe the news accounts we've been seeing lately. My second reaction is that the president and his staff appear to be appallingly ignorant of how our government works. He seems totally unaware that the FBI is essentially an independent agency, or that intelligence agencies do not exist to do the political bidding of the president.
President Trump's conversation with Admiral Mike Rogers was documented in an internal memo written by a senior NSA official, which sounds very similar to memos kept and written by former FBI Director James Comey. Amy, is this usually how it's done, officials keeping memos on every conversation with a sitting president?
Well, there are extensive records kept of communications with sitting presidents by everyone he deals with. The FBI in particular is used to memorializing any conversations relating to any investigation. I don't know enough about the NSA to know how usual it is, but it's certainly highly unusual for a president to make such a request of intelligence officers. So I would understand why he might memorialize it.
All right, let's move over to Michael Flynn, President Trump's former national security advisor. I am going to start with a novice's question. Does invoking the Fifth Amendment mean that Mr. Flynn is guilty of something?
No. Any competent defense lawyer would advise her client to assert the Fifth in these circumstances. It does not mean you are guilty of something. It means that the witness's lawyer assesses, rightly in this case, I believe, that her client has potential exposure to criminal charges.
And if you were Mr. Flynn's lawyer, would you have advised him to take the Fifth?
Yes, I would. This is a legal long shot by the lawyer, in the sense that the argument that his Fifth Amendment rights preclude him from providing documents is almost without any support in the law. But he is playing a long game here. He realizes that it is very cumbersome and time-consuming for the Senate to enforce a subpoena like this, and he's hoping that they may, rather than take that circuitous route, short-circuit it and grant him immunity.
Are you saying that it is unusual for someone to take the Fifth Amendment with respect to documents versus testimony?
Yes. The basic law on that issue is that there is no Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination for things you wrote down in documents, or that others wrote down in documents, you know, and sent to you that you have in your possession. There are very limited circumstances, which I don't want to bore your audience with explaining, where that there is an exception to that rule. But the basic rule is that documents that were written prior in time do not enjoy Fifth Amendment protection.
Do we know anything about the documents that Mr. Flynn is refusing to turn over?
Well, we know what the subpoena requested, and I've reviewed the request. It's pretty basic. It's communications relating to Russia during certain time periods. or to and from Russians during certain time periods. It's a pretty basic request. They've also asked him to make a list of all the contacts that he had with Russians, and that would be, in my view, protected by the Fifth Amendment, because that, in essence, is creating a document that's a form of testimony.
How might Congress respond? Could he be held in contempt of Congress, or is that unlikely?
There are three ways Congress can enforce a subpoena. The typical way is to for the Senate to pursue civil enforcement, seek to hold him in civil contempt. That requires the majority of the committee and then the majority of the Senate to vote to hold him in contempt, as I said. And then it is referred to a court to enforce. And then when he gets into court, he could raise these arguments again about his Fifth Amendment rights. And there would be litigation about that. There could be appeals. So you can see it's a time-consuming process.
What does this mean for Robert Mueller, who's overseeing the collusion investigation?
If they were to grant Flynn immunity, it would make it nearly impossible to prosecute him, especially if the immunity somehow extended to his documents. Because once the Senate committee grants immunity and Flynn testifies and produces those documents, Mr. Mueller would be precluded from using any of that evidence against him, as well as any evidence derived from that. So if the documents provided leads and so forth.
All right. So what happens next?
Well, I think the committee, I know that some of them have talked about seeking contempt against Mr. Flynn. I think they're going to realize that's a long, drawn-out process. They may start that process. I think it's also important to point out that this committee doesn't have any special investigatory staff. They, unless they've hired them in the last several days, they didn't have litigators and so forth to do this. So they could go down that road. In the meantime, there are plenty of other avenues for them to seek information relevant to Mr. Flynn and Russia and potential collusion. They could, for example, subpoena documents related to Mr. Flynn and the Russians from the campaign, from the White House, from his businesses, none of which would have a Fifth Amendment privilege. They could interview numerous other witnesses. There are other people in the White House that might have knowledge of these events.
Okay, so a lot of options still left on the table. Amy Sabrin is a retired partner from the law firm Skadden Arps. Amy, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.